Donald Trump set to brush off an outcry across the Middle East when he announces the U.S. will recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel on Wednesday. It's a move that upends decades of American foreign policy, which left Jerusalem's status up to Israel and the Palestinians.
Arriving at court, police sirens blaring, the man accused of plotting to kill Britain's prime minister. 20-year-old Naeem Al-Rahman has been charged with preparing to commit acts of terrorism. Prosecutors claim he planned to detonate an improvised explosive device at the gates of Downing Street. The court was told that part of the alleged plan involved a suicide vest, pepper spray, and a knife.
An extra jolt for China's booming cafe culture. On Wednesday, Starbucks opened the doors to its first overseas roastery in Shanghai. The company is hoping the grand flagship store will boost its reputation as a high-end brand. Critical now that Chinese coffee drinkers have more options than ever before. Starbucks already operates 3,000 outlets across China.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It's December 7th, 5:10 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell. We've got a really good show for you today. John Horton, our thought leader from Associated Bank, is here this morning. We're going to have a nice conversation about mortgages and maybe the tax bill, real estate as well thrown in there. John will be with us momentarily. A little bit later in the program, we're talking about the best loyalty, hotel loyalty programs in the world. It has been ranked. We'll find out if you're losing money by not joining up on those, especially if you don't travel very much. But if you do travel a lot, you might be missing out on some cash. That's in our second segment this morning. First, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward a flat open on Wall Street later this morning. As you heard Vic say in the news segment there, Dow futures are down about 2 points this morning. NASDAQ futures, though, are higher by about 21. In Europe this morning, markets are generally positive in the green, with the DAX up about a third. The CAC is up about a quarter. The FTSE is up just about a fraction this morning, just a fraction. In Asia this morning, the markets look like they're going to have a mixed closing there. The Nikkei going to finish up about a percent and a half, up 320 points. And the Hang Seng will finish up about a quarter, 78 points. Again, futures in this country pointing toward a mixed open later this morning. Oil at $56.24 a barrel. Gold and silver are both trading lower this morning. A couple of stories we're watching for you. The Bitcoin miner NiceHash says it is investigating a security breach and theft of the contents of the NiceHash Bitcoin wallet. The company said in a statement posted on its website that it had stopped operations and was working to verify how many Bitcoins were stolen. Troubles with the website over the past few days has drawn concern and complaints, with many Bitcoin owners posting panicked comments on NiceHash's social media accounts. The price of Bitcoin has surged in recent days, now up above $14,000. That compares to a value below $1,000 at the beginning of this year. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin has alerted Congress that he will start taking emergency measures this week, as early as today, to keep the government from going above the debt limit when it goes back into effect tomorrow. In a letter to congressional leaders, Mnuchin says he's going to begin using extraordinary measures. He says he's ready to use various bookkeeping maneuvers to buy time until Congress raises the debt limit. Earlier this year, Congress agreed to spend the debt limit, suspend the debt limit, I should say, allowing the government to borrow as much money as it needed. But that suspension ends tomorrow. The government says U.S. healthcare spending reached $3.3 trillion last year, which averages out to about $10,348 for every man, woman, and child. The 4.3% increase actually represented slower growth than in 2015, but healthcare spending still grew faster than the economy. Healthcare accounted for 17.9% of the economy in 2016. It's Thought Leader Thursday. Time to bring in our thought leader this morning. John Horton is your vice president and senior lending manager at Associated Bank, specializing in construction loans, jumbo mortgages, and refinancing. Lots to talk about. Let's get going. John, welcome back to the opening bell.
Hey, good morning. Happy holidays. Thanks for having me.
Happy holidays to you, too. News that we should probably get out of the way right away. Weekly mortgage rates are lower, but applications are also lower. Give us a sense of what's happening.
You know, it's funny. When they come out with these statistics, and they do admit to it, that there was a little holiday called Thanksgiving when they did this survey.
Yeah.
So you're looking at a normal application week could be 6 days, Monday through Saturday. That week, you're probably looking Monday to a light Wednesday, so you have 3 days. So it was down the 3.1%. It's the holidays. You know, there's never an excuse, but when you do cut 2.5 days off of your survey, it has a little impact on what your numbers are going to be.
Yeah, people are not going and buying houses with turkeys cooking in the ovens.
No.
Even though I hear that's pretty good, it's like chocolate chip cookies, right?
The smell of the house is chocolate chip cookies are huge.
Right.
Chocolate chip cookies and turkeys.
I can't imagine the pumpkin pie added in there. So then we should probably adjust this in our own minds that this week, as we have a full week, it'll probably bounce back.
Yeah, you're going to see a little bounce back. What you're also seeing, though, they were talking about the applications to refinance a home was down 8%, 18% from a year ago. But the purchase market has gone up because the average 30-year fixed rate right now is still hovering around 3.875 to 4 1/8, again, depending on credit, down payment, loan-to-value, things like that. So the purchase market is increasing because of the lack of inventory. So that's kind of the positive side of the low applications.
The lack of inventory, you hit me with some statistics before we went on the air this morning about inventory. How much inventory did you say that they're going to have to build to catch up with the demand?
They were talking about 1.2 million homes a month being built in order to catch up to the demand. Now, a lot of that, like we were talking about earlier, has to do with the tragedy. You know, Houston, Florida, the hurricanes, which just decimated entire towns. So, again, when you look at those numbers, it's not like they have to build it. They have to build it to replace. So if you take out those replacement numbers, it's not going to be as extensive. But still, your inventory is a little bit lower than it's been in a long time.
Looking at some of the annual figures and back to the applications for mortgages, year over year, down 18%. But interest rates are just a little higher than they were a year ago. When you look over the year over year, there seems to be a trend developing there, though.
You know, there is a trend, and you're finding a lot of people, especially with the applications on the refinance, because you were talking probably 6 years in a row where refinancing was a thing to do. You, at one point, people were refinancing 2 or 3 times in a year. So you take those numbers and you just keep going and going. It kind of, again, skews it a little bit. Right now, the refinance market is still there, not nearly as strong as it used to be.
With the hint that this month we're going to see an interest rate hike from the Federal Reserve, what would your advice be to folks who may be sitting on the fence still?
You know, I'm not a big fence sitter. Mm-hmm. Either you're going to sit and be happy or sit and be sad. Get off the fence. Again, it goes back to the conversation like we've been talking about for the entire year. Pick up the phone. Here's what I want to do. What's my payment going to be? You'd be surprised at what you can get. And right now, it is a buyer's market because the inventory is low. There's not a lot of people out looking. Those that are out looking that are pre-approved, which is key, are going to win the game.
Just back to the inventory part of this, 1.2 million, that's a lot of people that would be buying houses right now. How quickly could the builders catch up with something like that?
You know, again, it's one of those things where they're putting out these numbers, and if they do start building the 1.2 million, I guarantee when we talk in 6 months, there's going to be too many houses on the market.
You know, so?
They forecast it. The builders, again, you're finding a lot of builders that suffered when the downturn happened that were out of the business. Right now, there are some builders that are doing the custom homes, but now you're probably talking about a lot of tract home, a lot of subdivisions in order to keep up with that demand.
If you took the hurricanes out of it, what would you say the situation is like, and specifically here in the Midwest?
The supply here is, talking to realtors now, I was at an event yesterday, they're busy. They are really busy. And we talked before that goal, they kind of put the Super Bowl, that's where they kind of look for the spring season to start. Mm-hmm. They said right now they've been steady. The weather has a lot to do with it. You have an open house on a Sunday now, if it's sunny and 35, people are going to go. If it's snowy and slushy, it's not going to happen. So this has a lot to do with it. So you're still seeing a lot of movement going past Thanksgiving and into Christmas.
We've had a couple of weekends, too, the past couple of weekends that have been in the 60s.
Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Right.
So people don't go when it's in the 60s, they're out probably playing around, right?
Right.
No?
And the thing I tell people, and they ask me about looking at homes, and we do a lot of new construction, and we put our signs outside of the homes. I love doing it this time of year, because if you're entertaining for the holidays, you have a lot of people coming in from out of town that now will be able to see some inventory, see construction happening. So kind of the little back to basic sales skills are tending to work right now.
And it's interesting you say that. I would imagine that if I was looking for a home and it was fully decorated for the holidays, is that a selling point when you walk into a house that feels like a warm holiday gift card or I should say a greeting card?
You know, I think so. It's like Norman Rockwell.
Yeah.
You know, dress up the kids nice, clean them up, put them out front, make them look like they're respectable. You know, it is, because if you're in that holiday mood and you're looking for a home, it definitely can't hurt.
I still think we should test out that turkey in the oven thing.
You know what? I'll leave that up to you. Let me know how it goes.
You mentioned realtors. I know a couple of realtors who are very, very concerned about what's happening with the tax bills, competing bills now. One in the House passed, one in the Senate passed. The conference committees are working on both of them. They're worried about what it's going to do to home buying, specifically because of the deductions that you can take for mortgage interest and for state and local taxes. What's your thought on this?
I absolutely agree with them. You see, one of the biggest benefits of home ownership is your interest rate deduction. We do have borrowers right now, especially some older folks, that don't have any deductions. Their kids are out of the house. They're looking at a deduction. They have no mortgage. They'll come to the bank and say, hey, can Associated Bank help me? And we'll do a refinance for them so they get the cash out and do what they want with the cash, and they use that interest rate deduction. I really think it's going to be a bigger issue than people think it is. People buy houses for the interest rate, and the way they're looking at coupling it and minimizing it, and you have to itemize. I hope it doesn't happen soon. But again, it's one of those things you could wake up and it's going to be there.
You know, there has been a lot of debate over the last couple of weeks as we've been watching these bills get passed about whether or not it's the incentives that drive people to buy a home or if they were going to buy a home anyway. Do you have any anecdotal thoughts on that?
You know, there's a couple ways to look at it. The renter market might be loving this right now because that's going to pick up renters, because if you're not getting a benefit on your taxes, why buy a house? You're going to rent. On the flip side, you do have kids in school. You do have people that want to relocate, people that want to downsize, people that need to upsize. I think it's going to not completely stop home sales, but they're talking in some markets having a direct effect of 10 to 20% of people not buying homes. The numbers of sales will go down 10 to 20% because of this.
One of the bills talks about having one of the cutoff points is a $500,000 home. What are we talking about there in terms of, like, if you had to superimpose that on a map of the Chicago area, how many of those homes are out there?
Oh, my God.
It's probably the bulk of them, right?
I know a lot is not a very good scientific answer, but it is. I mean, again, depending on your market, there's some areas in Chicago, your average sales price, average listing price is $682,000. That's your average. So you're going anywhere from maybe $350,000 up to $1.2 million, and that's going to affect that whole market. It's going to affect a lot of markets, especially you look up in the northern burbs. Construction loans. Associated Bank has a key construction loan product. You know, they're anywhere from $300,000 to $2 million. So if people are looking at it for the sole reason of a tax deduction, it's gonna have a tremendous impact.
I know we've talked about this before, but one of the things you're great at is that you sort of walk people through all of these different aspects. Now's the time of the year if people, it's going to kick up again around the Super Bowl, that they should probably come and sit down with you if they're thinking about buying.
And it's funny you said that, because I love working for the holidays. I mean, I love my family, but I love working at the holidays because a lot of people are off. A lot of people don't have the time during the day or on the weekends to pick up the phone, call Associated Bank, talk to a lender. The foot traffic in the banks definitely goes up at the holidays, and it's a great time to sit down. You don't have to do anything, but you'd rather be prepared, have a conversation, and know going forward what you're looking at. Back to the pre-approvals. A lot of realtors won't take you out unless you're pre-approved. They don't want to waste their time. They don't want to waste your time. You want to make sure that what you're looking at is what you can afford.
What other advice would you give folks who are maybe in this end-of-the-year mode, thinking about perhaps doing this in the next year?
I'd do it sooner than later. And again, it's that conversation. You could, if you currently have a home, you need to list a home. That alone could take anywhere from a day to 6 months. You know, get yourself with the right realtor. Take a look. Do your homework is key. Look at the area you want to move in. Look at what your taxes are going to be. It's tough to give any advice on the Senate and the House bill, because you could give advice, and by the time we're together next month, it might be completely different. So that's a complete CPA. Call your accountant. Get advice from them. What mortgage do you need? What can you afford? What can we do for you? Call Associated Bank.
One of the scary parts of all this, back to the tax bills, the National Association of Realtors projecting that in some parts of the country, including the Chicago area, New York, I think, was one of them, California, another, home prices, the value of our homes could drop by 10%.
Absolutely.
That's a big deal for those of us who consider our homes our nest egg.
Well, it's a huge deal, and besides the nest egg, people might not be able to sell their home. They may be taking that equity they have to manage what they're going to sell it at. Well, if it's down 10%, you now might be upside down. You might not be able to sell your home. So now you want to move. You want to get that nest egg. Your nest egg just dropped 10% overnight, and now you might be in a position to not even be able to move. So besides just the tax deduction, if you dig deeper, it has a lot deeper effect on people.
I saw you carrying in your crystal ball this morning as well.
I did. And my crystal ball.
Any predictions for 2018?
It's going to be very positive, Steve. Things are going to be on the upswing. We're not going to talk negative anymore next year, all through 2018. I think, you know, depending on the tax bill, you know, again, we kind of go back to the National Association of Realtors. There is a call to action right now. And they are all over it, between Springfield and Washington, and calling their congressman and calling their Senate, voicing their opinion. I don't think it should stop at the realtors. It should be the people that are buying and selling homes as individuals, not as a profession. Realtors are a big part of it, but if you can get with your congressman, with your senator, with your alderman, with your whoever it is, I think they know how people feel about it, but even the strong outpouring of how they feel is not having an effect on it from what we're reading or what we're seeing. But again, could be totally different tomorrow.
Any disruption coming in the area?
Meaning?
Any disruption to the mortgage industry that you foresee happening? I know there's some new technology companies that might come on the real estate side of things. Any of that going to affect how we get a mortgage?
I don't think so. You know, it depends. You do get some of the millennials. I've never had so many texts in my life from customers than I have in the last 6 months. A lot of folks don't want to meet anymore. And again, I'm a big face-to-face guy, but you do get people that say, I'll see you at the closing, between email and that internet that the kids talk about and all the other stuff that's going on, that technology has taken off. The other thing, and I know it has nothing to do with technology, but starting January 1st, the jumbo loan limit is going from $424,100 to $453,100 for a one unit. And really what that means, if you're in a jumbo loan, anything that's not conventional, a conventional loan amount, there's a little bump in your rate, Fannie and Freddie, banks, risk, everything else. So if you're in a loan amount, let's say right now, $450,000 at 4.5% on a jumbo from a few years ago, you could refinance January 1 to a conventional loan, which is going to have a lower rate for you. So opportunity to maybe pick up the phone, call Associated, back to that conversation, and you might put some money in your pocket.
You know, I have to go back in the notes, but I think last year at this time you were saying the exact same thing about this year. It's going to be positive. Was it positive?
It was positive. We at Associated Bank have had one of our best years. Credit quality, the colleagues, loan size, roughly we're going to almost end up dollar for dollar as we did from 2016 to 2017. Retention, at least on my team, is phenomenal. People hoping they like their jobs. The big part about it is I know my team just loves to help people. It gets back to basics. It's not anything crazy. You bring someone in, you make them happy, you're good to go.
So what have you asked Santa for this year?
Lower rates, positive 2018. And no more politics.
Well, make sure you leave some cookies and milk for him, John.
I will.
All right. Good to see you. Happy holidays.
Take care, buddy. You too.
John Horton is Vice President and Senior Lending Manager at Associated Bank, specializing in construction loans, jumbo mortgages, and refinancing. It's our thought leader conversation. Remember, you can listen to our past chats at WGNradio.com on the opening bell page, and also follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter. And you can also head over to AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership. Read more about our thought leaders and hear more of the episodes there as well.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. Another WeWork is coming to Fulton Market, according to Cranes. WeWork plans to lease 2 floors and 48,000 square feet of space at 210 North Carpenter Street, just 4 blocks from its other co-working space in the West Loop. The newest WeWork will be the company's 7th location in Chicago. A new therapy practice wants to bring couples counseling to startups. Amity Chicago is a co-founder counseling service that helps entrepreneurs work out their issues and keep their companies running strong. Amity worked with the Techstar Chicago cohort last summer. And Grubhub announced the results of its annual year-end delivery analysis, identifying the trendiest dishes of 2017. Poke was the most popular dish nationally, and in Chicago, the most popular dish was chicken taquitos. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Thursday edition of the program. Wyndham, Hyatt, or Starwood, which of those are the best, have the best hotel loyalty programs in the world? We thought we'd talk about that today because at the Points Guy, they have done a little analysis on this, a little ranking, and Nick Ewan is there. He's an analyst at thepointsguy.com, and it's with us this morning. Nick, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
First of all, let's tell people what we're talking about here, the loyalty programs. These are the what's at the hotels.
So these are the programs that when you sign up, you can earn various perks for your stays, but then you also earn points that can then be redeemed for future free nights or for a variety of other awards within their programs.
Virtually every one of the big hotels has one of these, don't they?
Yes, that's correct.
So what did you? How have you ranked these, and who's on top?
Well, the overall methodology we used was actually looking at 10 different criteria covering pretty much any aspect of what you'd look for in a hotel, how quickly you earn points, the value of those points, how many hotels they have, so how many options you have. And what we found was that the Starwood Preferred Guest Program actually came out on top, thanks predominantly to their high number of luxury properties, the value that you get out of their points. They also do a great job, if you are a road warrior, at rewarding those really frequent travelers with their elite status program.
And they beat out one of the ones that people always think of being the best. That's the Wyndham Rewards Program. I know a lot of people love that one. Wyndham is what, number two now?
Yeah, Wyndham came in second, and they offer a very interesting or intriguing value proposition. Their performance was really terrific when it comes to looking at free nights, because every Wyndham resort around the world just costs 15,000 points per night. So the cheapest Days Inn all the way up to the most luxurious Wyndham Grand Resort. And that's a pretty intriguing value proposition, and you're right, that's a really popular one. They were just edged out by Starwood in our analysis.
Number three is one that I think a lot of people from Chicago will be interested in, Chicago-based Hyatt, number three. Why Hyatt up there?
So Hyatt is another one that has a really great value proposition when it comes to rewarding their elite status members. They also have a really solid co-branded credit card. Really, the biggest thing that impacts Hyatt is just their limited number or their limited footprint around the world. They only have roughly 800 hotels worldwide compared to a chain like Wyndham that has over 8,000. So that really put a damper on their overall performance. But again, they still do offer a really solid value proposition and came in at third in our analysis.
Who's at number four?
So number four was the Hilton Honors Program. They did very well when it comes to giving perks. They give all members, regardless of status, free Wi-Fi, the opportunity to request a late checkout. You can also freely share your Hilton points across your family members. And they also do have a really solid portfolio of co-branded credit cards. That was another part of our analysis. They just inked an exclusive new partnership with American Express. So come January, they're actually going to release some really intriguing new Hilton American Express card. So that really bumped them up to the rankings as well.
Is that a big deal among people, being able to share points with family members?
Yeah, that actually is a really great option, because oftentimes if you're just traveling a few times a year, you may be earning a couple thousand points, 5,000, 10,000 points, and if you aren't really on the road all the time, it can take a long time for those points to add up to a free night or a really meaningful reward. So programs that allow you to combine points or pool your points from family members or from friends or allow you to freely transfer between your friends or family members, that allows you to really combine those small points balances into a more meaningful balance for really great redemption at a luxurious property.
Who's at number five?
So number five was actually the Accor program, which is actually, they have a very limited private presence in the U.S. I know there is a Sofitel in Chicago, and then they have some others around the U.S. So they also have a really solid redemption. Instead of having flat rates at the different properties, they actually allow you to redeem just 2,000 points for 40 euros off your stay. So they're, again, predominantly an international chain. But again, that value really pushed them into a surprise fifth-place finish.
The remaining of the top five, I'll go through them if you want here real quickly, but did anything stand out in those bottom top of the top 10?
Not really anything in particular. I think we do have a lot of loyalists of Marriott and the IHG Rewards program, so they probably would be a little upset that they fell outside the top five. But really, the big thing to take away from this is that every one of the programs that we analyzed has value for its members. Here at the Points Guy, we always recommend to sign up for any and all programs, even if you think you're just going to stay there once a year, once every couple of years, or even if you have no plans to stay there again. It really allows you to unlock perks and earn those points that you can then apply towards future free night stays. So really, every one of the programs offers a solid value for its members.
I like how on the site, it's often written, if you don't take advantage of these programs, you're really just like throwing cash away, aren't you?
It's really true. And again, most people think that, oh, I'm never going to travel enough to earn the free points or to earn a free night or anything meaningful. But with most of these programs, as long as you have qualifying activity every 18 months, every 2 years, in some cases every 3 years, each one is slightly different, those points aren't going to expire. So there's really no harm in signing up for any of them and all of them. I have joined some loyalty programs that I wind up not having any stays at for, you know, a couple of years. But again, if you don't sign up, you can't take advantage of these perks and earning these points towards free nights or other really valuable redemptions.
Is there anything negative about any of these programs, Nick?
So not really. You know, each one of them reserves the right to make changes at any point. So one of the other big redemptions or recommendations we have is to not hold on to points. You know, if you have a huge stash of points, generally points miles across loyalty programs, both hotel and airline and credit card for that matter, are not a good long-term investment. So really, that would be the one drawback, is at any point these programs can change, especially as you look at the Marriott and Starwood merger. Starwood came in number one. As those programs are becoming more and more integrated over the next few years, if you have a huge stash of Starwood points, you know, you may want to go ahead and look at redeeming those before some of the redemption schemes change. So that would be the one drawback, I would say, is that these programs can change literally any day. So don't hold on to your points. If you've got them, use them.
I know it must be rewarding, having put a lot of work into these lists like you do, to see that your readers here are generally in agreement with you on your choices.
Yeah, and, you know, we really take painstaking care to really think about what would matter to the, quote, general traveler, what makes the most sense, which is why really looking at the ease and the value of earning and redeeming points, that criteria had the highest weight in our analysis. But the great thing is that the article on our site, thepointsguy.com, does include an interactive tool that allows you to actually adjust the default weightings that we use for our analysis. So maybe you don't really care about the number of economical properties, or maybe you have no interest in opening a co-branded credit card. You can adjust those weightings, and the analysis will actually re-rank the programs to help you choose which program is best for you and your particular travel needs.
Nick, good information here, especially as we're heading into the holiday travel season. We appreciate you sharing it with us here this morning.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Nick Ewan is an analyst at thepointsguy.com. You can find more about their rankings here at thepointsguy.com. We're also going to link out to it in the Opening Bell podcast page and on our Twitter page this morning. You can also follow The Points Guy on Twitter, and it's very simple, The Points Guy, at The Points Guy.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Glad you're here with us. Some developing news, as you heard in the news at the bottom of the hour. General Electric is saying it's going to axe more than 12,000 jobs from its global workforce, most of those coming from it's a power unit, 2,000 jobs in Europe and the rest from other countries. GE has told employees in Germany, for example, that about 1,600 people will be laid off, 1,200 in Switzerland. The other figures, the rest of that 12,000 coming from other countries. GE shares are just a little higher, just a fraction higher this morning in pre-market trading. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are off 18 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are higher. Bitcoin has hit 15,000. And now look at commodities and agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. We made the trip from Arizona back to the Chicago area late yesterday in time to take a look at those lean hog contracts that finished lower yesterday. December hogs, which will expire on the 14th of December, ended down $1.55 in the February contract, ending the day at $68.95. Meanwhile, live cattle futures also went lower. December live cattle finishing down 52 cents a pound at $115.90. Turning to the grain trade, the weather concerns about the soybean crop in Argentina continuing to help the soybean market yesterday, because the drought that set in around the start of the Southern Hemisphere springtime in parts of the Central Farm Belt threatens late-season soybean and corn planting and the development of already sown crops. So as we ended the day yesterday and as we're continuing today, the soybean market and grain prices falling, technical selling. Corn futures touched a one-week low, and the market just not showing much life. But that's not surprising during the holiday type of the marketing year. So have a great day, and I'm Orion Samuelson.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Thursday, December 7th, only one major government economic report being released today. The Labor Department reports on the number of people who applied for unemployment benefits last week. Also today, the Federal Reserve releases consumer credit data for October. Freddie Mac releases weekly mortgage rates. There's a status hearing in a lawsuit filed by the Department of Justice to block AT&T's $85 billion merger with Time Warner at 2:30. And it is National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day, marking the anniversary of the Japanese assault on the naval base in Hawaii back in 1941, which killed 2,402 sailors and other service personnel and led to the U.S. and the U.K. declaring war on Japan the next day. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday, December 7th.